And welcome inside of this week's edition of What's Important Now. I'm Tom Sears. Thanks for being a part of our program as we do our best to bring you the truth. Speaking of the truth, God has really been speaking to me about, well, a lot of different things, as you can imagine. And so we're going to begin to change the format of our program a little bit, not a whole lot, but a little bit. As, you know, the What's Important Now radio program, for 13 years on the radio in one form or another, we have taken issues of our day, we've brought them out. I still think that's vitally important. And so the What's Important Now radio program, that type of program, will remain, but it'll be live or archived on the radio at blogtalkradio.com/whatsimportantnow. You'll be able to catch all of that there. Our program here, this half-hour program airing in North Central West Virginia, or really around most of the parts of West Virginia, we're going to continue to do some of that because we think it's important to keep people informed about the issues and the things that are facing our country and how we have, in many ways, walked away from the blessings of God. And that it is very important, but the Lord has been speaking to me and dealing with me about the importance of getting His truth out there. And so, and that's, I'm a minister. That's who I am. That's who He created me to be. And I love Christian radio, and I am very fond of the What's Important Now radio program. And we're going to continue to call it the What's Important Now radio program. But the whole message of the What's Important Now radio program has been just that. What's important now? And so from time to time, we have to shift gears a little bit. And we're going to begin to do that today. And so on today's program, I just want to talk to you about some things that that Lord's really been placing on my heart. I'd like to look to His Word today and to give you, the listening audience, the truth from His Word that we feel is what is really important right now. With that being said, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/whatsimportantnow, where we will continue to produce those radio programs, the important radio programs as it pertains to the news and the issues of our day and how it relates to the Bible and what we've always done. That's important. blogtalkradio.com/whatsimportantnow. Also, if you go to christiantruthradio.com, 24 hours a day, right now, the format is the What's Important Now radio program is running various programs, different programs running over the course of 24 hours. ChristianTruthRadio.com, you can listen to that there. And we have some other things in the works. I was contacted by a minister who's building an internet television network. And so we're thinking to take our ministry online to the TV end of things as well. So as we press on and continue to work, we definitely need your support. And I would not be speaking with you this morning if it were not for the faithful supporters of our radio program, especially those who attend New Beginnings Church, as they continue to faithfully give to make sure this radio program stays on the air. And if you would like to be one of those supporters, we'd love to hear from you. You can write us by mail, What's Important Now radio program, 8901 Good Hope Pike, Lost Creek, West Virginia, 26385. Or you can send us an email, touch base with us that way, whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. Okay, let's get into it. I want to talk to you today, if I can, about something that that God has really been laying on my heart. And, you know, for a long time in the church, we have, in many ways, we've wondered, and I've had people ask, you know, why is God not moving like He used to move? I believe it was Leonard Ravenhill who said that, you know, the question is not where is the God of Elijah, but rather where are the Elijahs of God? And really what has happened is we have changed. We have changed. And I believe it's time to go back to where we were, go back to our foundation. And of course, that foundation is Jesus Christ. I want to share with you some scripture from Acts chapter 2, if I can. Beginning with verse 1, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language, and they were amazed and astonished. Okay, so what's happening here? This is all about evangelism. This is all about the Word of God getting out there. Many could say this is the original church growth plan. Because if you look to the book of Acts, you see the original church plan. It's God's original design for the church. It's found right there in the book of Acts. And if there's ever been a plan that worked, that was the plan. If you want to talk about effectiveness, we're talking about a church that exploded. It grew. Why did this happen? Why was the church growing? Because the believers knew why they were there. And they understood what they were supposed to be doing. If we were to look at, you know, the church in the book of Acts and compare it to the church we have today, I believe we come way short. And I know it's a different time, and I know people say that. But I believe that God is calling us to a sequel. He's calling us to walk closer to Him. You know, the truth of the matter is that God has given us, you know, the revival is the authorization to do God's will on earth. And God has given us that authorization, but many of us have shoved it aside. It's not that God no longer moves. It's not that God no longer touches lives and ministers. He does. Absolutely, He does. It's just that I believe we're falling a little bit short of where He would have us to be. We've worked really hard to build our churches. We've worked really hard to build our ministries. And we're falling short because God is calling us to be close to Him, to have a personal relationship with Him. And that's really what it comes down to, ladies and gentlemen. It comes down to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And as I look to the church in the book of Acts, and as I look at our churches today, I can't help but notice we have a very long ways to go. And it's not discouraging, it's challenging. I hope that it challenges all of you listening. Because when I read about the church, the first century church in the book of Acts, I read about a church that's growing, a church that's on fire for God, a church that's intimate, a church that loves Him. And it comes down to proximity and nearness, being close to God. Being so close that you can hear Him whisper, so to speak. And so when I read this, I see not only what we are not, but I believe what we will soon be, a sequel. So the church part one, so to speak, the church of Acts, they were a church that worshiped God. They were a church that evangelized. They were a church that loved people. They were a church that was learning. And now it's our turn. It's our turn to be a church that worships. It's our turn to be a church that evangelizes, that reaches out beyond our four walls. It's our turn to be a church that's learning. It's our church, or our time, to be a church that's loving. And it's time for us to focus on God's plan for us. You know, when we talk about becoming a church that worships, if you read there, in that second chapter, you find where it says, they continued steadfastly in the breaking of bread and in prayers, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God. They were a church that worshiped. They were a church that was built on prayer, a church that was built on worship. And as we read that precious book of Acts, as we read through it, we read through the record of the early church, the history of the early church, there's only one thing that we can conclude. They had miracles happen every single day. And if you believe that happened, and you believe that God never changes, then you have to believe that God can still do anything. You see, the early believers, they didn't follow signs and wonders. Signs and wonders followed them. Wherever they went, things happened. And God's calling us to a sequel. God's calling us to step out and to be what he's called us to be. A church that worships, a people that worships, that has a sincere praise in their heart. The song of the redeemed coming out, it can't help but come out because we can't keep it inside. It's not something you schedule. It's not something you use to draw a crowd. If you want to be a person of worship, if you want to be a church of worship, you have to have a focus that is centered on God. You know, the Bible teaches us that, you know, we're put on this earth to know and to walk with God. He made us. And if we know him and we walk with him, guess what? We bring glory to his name, because when we are worshiping God, we are agreeing with him. We are agreeing about who he is, who he says he is. We are agreeing that what he says he can do, because it's already been done. And when we worship, we are agreeing that we will do whatever it is he's asking of us. We respond by telling him, yes. That's why the Bible and worship, they go hand in hand. You can't separate the two. When you're worshiping with an accurate understanding of who God is, that's powerful and effective worship. When we worship God, our worship must engage our minds. It must engage our affections, our heart, our emotions, and our spirit. The Bible says that God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It doesn't mean that worship has to be emotional or to involve outward emotion, that there has to be a display. It doesn't mean that if you're not displaying emotion, that you're not in the spirit. But what it does mean is that the heart has to be engaged. That's what made that early church so powerful. They were engaged with the heart of God. Their hearts were engaged with the heart of God. And if we're going to have a sequel, if we're going to be that church that finally stands up and makes a difference in our time, we must be engaged with the heart of God. You know, we show outward excitement in sports, with music. You see a celebrity, the president, whatever. There's this outward excitement. And in many cases, it could be argued there's worship taking place. It seems right to me that God deserves more than that. But that early church, that church plan that God has instituted in the earth, that early church was also an evangelistic church. And if we read the book of Acts and the early accounts of the first church, it becomes very clear that everything they did culminated in evangelism. To them, proclaiming Christ, it was never optional. It was a must. It was never handed down to a committee or a board or a ministry team. Every Christian did it. And it happened all the time. It happened regularly. This is what we read. So this must be what God is calling us to. Because everything they did, it brought out curiosity and even at times admiration. But at the end of the day, it brought a group of unbelievers to Christ. And that's what it's going to take in our world today. We all have opinions and we all think we have solutions, but the Bible has the real answers. You know, we're trying to actually debate Jesus' command to go into all the world and make disciples of all men. I've had this conversation with many people. I say, well, you know, God hasn't really called me there. Where has he called you? To the comfort of your sanctuary? The comfort of your home? Because that command went out to all Christians. And he said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. And he commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to make disciples of all men. You know, some people say, well, I'm not called to evangelistic ministry. I'm called to a bodily ministry. Really? I mean, dissect that for a moment. We are the body of Christ. That is the bodily ministry. No matter where you are, no matter what your ethnicity, your race, whatever. If you are healthy as a Christian, and I'm not talking physically, I'm talking spiritually. If you are a healthy Christian, you reproduce. That's where God is. He's in that place of reproduction. God is in the place of reproduction. He's calling us to reproduce. He's calling us to produce other Christians, to share who Jesus is. And if you're a healthy, well-fed Christian, a worshiping believer, you will reproduce. It's that simple. You know, on this program, we talk all the time about what is important. We talk about what's important to us, whether it be Christians or Americans or whatever. You see, the early believers, the early followers of Jesus Christ, they had been touched by him. He had changed their lives. He had done so much that they were actually willing to give their lives up for the cause of Christ. He has called all of us to be evangelists. He's called all of us to share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That original church growth plan included a church that was willing to learn. If you're going to be a healthy Christian, if you're going to be a healthy church, you know, you have to have a commitment to learning God's word. There has to be a commitment there. The Bible cannot sit on the table gathering dust. It needs to be a part of your life. It needs to be a part of your daily life. You know, if you look back to the first church, you know, at the time of the first church, their commitment meant listening to the apostles' teaching and reading scriptures, and they were often found at that place. But notice the words that I shared with you a few moments ago. They continued steadfastly. This means that they were not only the apostles taught faithfully and continually, but the congregation was faithful to continue in it as well. They were faithful to learn and to keep growing what was taught. They were attentive. In 2 Timothy 2:15, the Bible says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You know, when I go to India, one of the worst aspects of going over there is the food. Although I've, in six trips, I believe now at this point, I've acquired a bit of a taste for it, which actually goes to prove a little bit of my point here in a moment. But that's been one of the greatest challenges, not only the taste of things, because they make things differently. I you know, up until recently hadn't really acquired a taste, and there's a lot of things over there I still haven't acquired a taste for. Yeah, I've acquired a taste for what's here in America and the comforts of the United States of America. But the reality of it is that people develop an appetite for what they're fed. Does that make sense? You begin to develop an appetite, and I find that to be true because in these weird moments, and trust me, they're weird, randomly, from time to time, I'll think, I want some rice and curry. And when I'm in India, I don't want it. But I've begun to develop a little bit of to acquire an appetite for it. And so from time to time, I'm like, I get in these weird moods and I'm like, boy, that sounds good. And it doesn't happen all that often. But my point is, people develop an appetite for what they are fed. You know, if you're in a church with a steady diet of feel-good sermonettes with 10 points and a poem, you know, a place of good theology, solid teaching, you know, you're going to be okay with that. You're going to develop an appetite for it. But if you're getting sound doctrine from Scripture, you know, you're going to raise a strong congregation. But if it's sermonettes and a poem, it's going to be a weak congregation. Hebrews 5, 11 through 14 from the NIV says, "We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." Did you hear that? Constant use. That's the thing. You've got to have a steady appetite of God's word, and you will acquire an appetite for what you are fed. I just recently told the church that, you know, the truth is we do not hate sin. We hate the consequences of sin. That's got to change. We've got to quit rubbing elbows with the world and come out from among them and be a separate people. Thus says the Lord. Did you hear what I just read out of the book of Hebrews chapter 5? He says, "Though by this time you ought to be teachers, churches are full of people that should have grown up by now." When I say grown up, I'm not talking physically. I'm talking spiritually. Should have grown up. The other thing the church was a loving church. The original church. The original church plan was about a loving church. And it wasn't intended to describe this socialist utopia, so to speak, but it illustrates just how literally we're called to love one another. You know, if you look at the early church, the reason the early church could share their possessions was that they were actually living out the second great commandment to love their neighbors as themselves. We see that their unity and their love were so powerful that all the people thought well of them. You know, it's an awesome story. We talk about being a loving church. We're talking about people that are connected to one another in close fellowship and people who serve one another in true ministry. Matthew 19:19, Jesus said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." What would happen if we truly began to take Jesus at his word and live that way? What would that do to our churches? Can you imagine how different things would be if we operated by this principle? What would happen, or what would it be like, if we really were as concerned about others' happiness and problems and disappointments as we were about our own? You know, our love for one another is one of our greatest witnesses to the world. Jesus said, "They will know you're my disciples because you have love for one another." It backs up everything that we're trying to do and trying to say to the unbeliever. If you remember in the book of Acts, the early church, all the believers were as one mind and one accord. The response was a daily adding, a multiplication, a multiplying of the church, a growth in the church. People came to Jesus because they saw how Christians loved each other. Unfortunately, the opposite is true today in many cases. Not all cases, but in many cases. Because the truth is, a loving church is a church family. It's brother and sister bound together in love. At the end of the day, if we want a sequel, we better wake up and realize that we're just not healthy. As a church, the church as it is today is not healthy. We've got to change that, ladies and gentlemen, and we can. We can bring about change in our churches, in our families, in our country, in our world. We have to get well. It has to happen. It's non-negotiable, and it's imperative to our survival as the church. We need a spiritual revival. And as I told you, revival is the authorization that God gives his people to do his will here on earth. The authorization has been handed down. I've been talking to our church about how, you know, David, when he picked up that sword and cut off Goliath's head, it's very clear of one thing. Knowing the size of Goliath and his armor and all that he had, that sword was likely taller than David was and heavier than he was. Yet David was able to pick up that sword and cut off that giant's head. Why? Because when God anoints a person to do his will, he will equip that person to carry what is bigger than him. God will equip you, if you long for it, to carry something that's bigger than you. At the age of 26 years old, for the first time, my feet hit foreign land. And I look back now and I think, God, how or why did you do that? But he did. And time has, wow, swiftly passed. But he has so much and more in store. He wants me to carry a sword that's bigger than I am. He wants me to carry an anointing and that same calling. Well, it's going out to you tonight. You see, the truth is the church is supposed to be this powerful place that effects change in our world. Today we wonder, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, what role will the church play in the world or even in America? And the truth of it is, that depends on us. But here's what I know. He looked at Peter and he said, on this rock I have built my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So we can worry that the true church will never rise again, but I've got news for you. It is. It is rising again. It may not be whole congregations, but in those congregations, there's one or two. There's 50. There's 100 of them. Spread all across America, thousands, even millions of people that are filling that calling of God to not reach the world, not save souls, not do this, but to get close to him, because getting close to him will produce reaching the world and saving souls. See, we've been trying to do good. You see it, right? We've been trying to do good things for so long, but we have forgot to get alone with him, because all of our good things without him, well, they're not really life-changing. He's calling us to make a difference, to pick up a sword that's heavier than we are, to pick up a sword that's bigger than we are. I pray you'll do that today. Father, we just thank you for our radio program today. We're grateful for all that you've done in our lives. Father, we can't help but worship you. Lord, let us realize that worship is not so much a song as it is a lifestyle. We worship you every day that we live and how we live. Let us be a church that's learning and loving and evangelizing and worshiping, just like the early church. Let us impact our world. Father, if there be one out there listening today and they do not know you as their personal Savior, I believe right now is their moment. I encourage them, and I pray, Father, that you'll show up wherever they are, take them by the hand as they call out to you. We thank you for all things. Truly, all good things come from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, just about out of time here on the What's Important Now radio program. I do encourage you, for more programs, visit blogtalkradio.com/whatsimportantnow for all of our archived messages, archived programs. You can also visit christiantruthradio.com 24 hours a day. What's Important Now is airing and other programs as well. christiantruthradio.com. Send us an email at whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. Our mailing address, 8901 Good Hope Pike, Lost Creek, West Virginia, 26385. Thank you for being here. It's been my honor, as always. Until next week, this has been What's Important Now. I'm Tom Sears. God bless.